We're gonna talk to some people, gonna have a lot of fun. We're gonna talk to some people, gonna learn a lot of stuff. We're gonna talk to some people, gonna have a lot of fun. We're gonna talk to some people, gonna learn a lot of stuff. 'Cause Kristen knows blank.
Oh, hi, everybody, and welcome back to the Kristen Knows Blank podcast. Thank you for listening or watching or however you're taking in this podcast. It's good to see you. Leave a comment. Let us know what you think after the end of the episode, or right now. You could just leave us a message. Anyway, hey, it's a new season of the Kristen Knows Blank podcast, so thank you for listening. We have some amazing guests coming up this season. I don't know how we're getting them. They're so good, but I'm so excited to bring them to you. Before that, let me just tell you real quick, go over to my website, kristenkey.com, if you want to see me live on the Lesbian Army Tour. I will stress, you do not have to be a lesbian to join the Lesbian Army. You could be anyone. We need everybody. We need our hetero reserves and our bisexual brigade and our gay men's choir to sing us merrily on, and our trans special fort. We need everybody. We need the old lesbians to just come and complain. So join the Lesbian Army, or just come see one of my shows. The tour is all on my website. You can see where I'm going. If I'm not coming to your city, well, then write me a strongly worded email and tell me all about it. Today, my guest is unbelievable. I had the pleasure of working with them at Traverse City Up North Pride. You may remember them from RuPaul's Drag Race. Hey, computer lady, play that interview with Nina West.
Playing interview with Nina West.
How are you?
I'm wonderful. It's so good to see you again.
It's nice to see you again. It's been too long.
I know. It feels like just yesterday. There's so much I want to talk to you about today. I try not to talk about work too much because I like to find out what you do when you're not Nina Westing. But I will say, first off, I met you at the Traverse City Up North Pride. And it was one of those, we met the night before this crazy steakhouse late night restaurant.
Yes, that's right. Yeah.
Which was super fun. The food is, I don't even know what to say about this place. It's just,
it seems iconic in its own right. Right. I mean, the food is there.
And they're like, the waitress is just mean enough to you. Like Aaron Foley was with me and she's like got dietary restrictions. And so it was the funniest thing in the world to have the waitress be like, well, no,
we have shitty meat here. We only have cheese and everything.
Yeah.
It's all dairy all the time.
So I met you. It's wonderful, but I hadn't seen you perform yet. And then the next night was the big drag show. And I've never been called to a stage with dollars in my hand screaming the way that I did during your performance.
Thanks. You know, I got to see your performance on the first night. My first night there was the comedy show.
Yeah.
I got to see the comedy show on the first night that I was there. And it was, you are like so incredible and so funny. And you had the audience wrapped around your finger. I mean, this is just going to be a podcast of us complimenting each other.
We just fangirl each other. Here's what I loved about you. I liked it when you were yodeling and you did Dolly and you wore jeans. Just all of my favorite things.
I'm a denim queen.
You're amazing. So let's talk about Dolly for a second.
All right, yeah.
You did select a Dolly Parton song as one of your performances. And I know you have a new record player. Do you have any Dolly albums right now?
Oh my gosh, no. So it's funny that you mentioned this because I every Sunday I spend, you know, the morning when I'm home in Columbus, I go record shopping with one of my best friends. We just like tool around and there's like four really great record stores here. And so I was shopping this past Sunday for my dad's birthday. He's turning 75 this year. Mm. So for my dad's birthday, I got him a Bluetooth record player. And so I was like, yeah, it's really cool. It's super, super cool. Got him a Bluetooth record player. I was like, this is going to give my dad the opportunity to pull out all these old records and kind of, you know, like go through like his music catalog with me. And it's really, really, I'm really excited about this. And so I go to my favorite record shop here in Columbus. It's called Spoonful. And I walk in, and usually when I go in, I buy some kind of Dolly record, you know, one of the, cause she's got so many albums out.
So many.
You know, and they have a lot of used records and they're all in really good shape. And they go, oh my God, you're not gonna believe this. We just got in. Today we just got in this record store day release of Dolly Parton's The Grass is Blue, which is my favorite Dolly album.
Yeah.
It's a bluegrass album. It is so good. And this was a record that was released in 2015. It's super rare. And I was like, I'm buying it. So that was like, so it's like, I'm literally staring at America Player right now. It's like, literally, it's right here.
Have you played it yet? Have you, or is you just waiting to until I let you go?
No, I played it. It's a special edition. It's like, so Record Store Day happens like once a year in April.
Wow.
And so they re-released this album that is, I'm telling you, if you, it is so, so, so good. It is so good. This album is so, so good.
Her bluegrass, though, is one of my, it's hauntingly good. Because I was obsessed with the album Little Sparrow.
I love that album. Oh my God, I love that album.
I used to just play it because I used to do all my gigs by car when I was in my 20s. And I was just a bad girl back then. I would just drive around and smoke weed and be hungover and drive the whole country in my early 20s just listening to these. There's a song on there. Is it Little Sparrow? And it's like, she goes from like meeting a man to like one step, each verse gets worse and worse. Like she falls in love and that kind of hurts. And then he leaves her and that hurts. And she has a baby. And then like her baby dies and then she dies. And it ends with her like haunting the woods. Like,
so is that the banks of the Ohio? Do you know that one? That's like, what is that, a Johnny Cash song? But she covered one of her albums and it's like haunting. It's like,
oh, it's so sad. She loves a sad song, but with her voice, you're like, we can't be that sad. And you listen to the words, you're like, what the hell? This is,
I have to look it up, Little Sparrow track list, because the song Little Sparrow is like, oh my God.
It's not Little Sparrow. Like, this is Mountain Angel. It's called Mountain Angel.
That's what, yeah. My, oh my God. My Blue Tears is on that album, which is so good. Little Sparrow. I mean, this is such a good album.
Heaven Let Your Light Shine Down, that cover of that cover. 90s song with the banjo. That's right.
Down Ooh. From Dover. We could talk about this. That's a really great album. Yeah. So anyway, song. So yeah, I spoiled myself with a Dolly Grass is Blue album, which I was
congratulations.
Really,
I love that you're
thanks, even Kristen. I'm a nerd. I love it.
That's what we do these days. I don't know if there is nerds anymore. I mean, in the 80s and 90s, like, well, you're weird. You're out there. And now it's like, oh, no, everything is celebrated now. We just celebrate everything. You're wonderful.
It's true.
So you're a Disney adult.
Oh, my gosh.
Speaking of nerds. Fun. Nerd. No.
Dork.
But you are. You're a Disney adult. You're self-proclaimed.
Yeah, I have to admit it. You know, I have to embrace it. It is part of my life, man. As I sip from my Little Mermaid mug.
I was going to ask you if it's just the music or if it's the culture, but then as I look through your apartment, just piece by piece, it's like, oh, this goes deep. This goes real deep. I love your mug.
It's, you know, I'm obsessed. These posters are from when I used to work in a movie theater in high school.
I used to work in a movie theater.
See, this is my reference.
Yeah, yeah. It's easy scheduling and you can just read.
Yeah, exactly what it is. It's easy scheduling and you can read.
Yeah, and free popcorn.
And free movies.
Yeah, lots of free movies.
And so these are from when I worked in a movie theater.
Wow.
In the mid-90s. And so, you know, I think my love of Disney, like, I don't know really what it is. I've always loved it. You know, I grew up watching, you know, as a kid, the animated movies, or watching the Old Yeller or any of those Haley Mill movies. Like, the Castaways or Parent Trap. I just kind of grew up, Nutty Professor, Flubber.
Yeah.
Like the really old, like the originals from the 50s and
60s. Shaggy Dog.
Shaggy Dog, Shaggy D.A.
Yeah.
Yeah. We're like, oh,
he got a promotion.
But it was, yes, I've always loved it. I love the way it makes me feel. I think like for everybody else who loves it, I think it's the nostalgia of it. I think it's the, what it reminds me of, because, you know, I'll see something that will remind me of my grandma in some way or another. My dad taking me to the movies when my parents were separated, and or like, you know, like it just on all these chapters of my life, it's always kind of been there. When I was starting to come out to myself and knowing who I was, the movie Beauty and the Beast was out. I was young, I was 12 or 13. And I don't remember how old I was, but like, you know, I remember thinking about, you know, my own sexuality when that movie was coming out, because Howard Ashman specifically was an out gay man and what that meant. And, you know, just all these chapters of my life. And so Disney is like, yeah, this phone was actually in my grandma's kitchen. I grew up in a Disney family, right? So the phone was in my grandma's kitchen and I got it when she passed. And, you know, like, yeah, it's always kind of been there for me.
I love the music. Do you, so what's your, like, what would be your go-to Disney song to sing at a karaoke? If it specifically has to be a Disney karaoke, where are you going first?
I'm going Poor Unfortunate Souls, Ursula, Honey. Honey. That, or I'm gonna do like out there hunchback. Give me a monster, a monstrous, rawr, like either a hunchback or a lady with eight tentacles.
Oh, Ursula, what a good call. Good call.
What would you do?
I like Part of Your World. I like How Far I'll Go. I like anything that it's the woman longing to get out there, especially if it's just like, I'm just horny for water, whatever it is.
Something and that's about right?
Always. It's always a woman just like, I just need more moisture. And as a dry-skinned lady, I just feel like Moana and the Little Mermaid got me.
I too am a dry-skinned lady. The Midwest is the worst.
I've been staring at my bottle of Lubriderm. I just love it. No, any Disney like lady that just is like just longing for something else, because I grew up in a church family as a gay lady, and just like the idea of you know, something else being beyond that horizon or whatever, that super calls to me.
I do love How Far I'll Go. There's that. I also really love that element that you kind of you mentioned, because like it's what I love about the Disney movie, the Disney trope, is that, you know, like it is this idea of hoping or dreaming or somewhere, some way. And I think a lot of queer people this resonates with them, like there's another life waiting for me. Like there's something else there that I get to have. That it isn't this misery that I'm in right now.
Yeah. There's a place where I belong, I think. Yes.
Yeah.
Thankfully, like as a grown up 40-year-old lady, it's like, oh, okay, that's like California, or you know, a place where like lesbians live. My wife wrote a thread the other day, and it just said, I hate it when there's no other gay people. And I was like, that should be on a t-shirt. Because I hate it when I'm somewhere and I'm the only gay person.
Yes.
And I just love it when there's tons of gay people. So now I'm just trying to make surrounded. It to where, Yeah. I don't want to be the only gay person anymore, ever.
No, there's no need to be. You know, I totally love that. Because the idea of like, right when you're growing up and you feel like you are the only one, like that's like the fucking worst.
Yeah, yeah. And not only it's like, I'm the only one and I'm wrong. And everybody else is right, and I am wrong, and I should apologize. But I'm also still gay. Like when you mentioned like being 12, 13 and watching Beauty and the Beast, it is interesting that when puberty hits for gay kids, it's just what an interesting time to just be discovering all kinds of new things about my body, but also to be, like I do have all these new feelings and they are not right.
Yeah. Yeah. And I can't tell anybody.
Right.
You're like, yeah.
I have tingles and feelings and sweats, and it is not for him. It is for this weird acne covered lady over here.
My story's a little different. It was for him.
Oh, okay. Okay. That makes sense. But still, you were wrong, but we're both wrong still.
Yeah, we were wrong. We found out.
Did you ever go to church camp, or were you a different? I was a church camp kid.
I did go to church camp. I went to like we went to church camp, went to church lock-ins. I was very actively involved in my like church youth group. Oh yeah.
What a weird time to be gay and in puberty and also like falling in love with Jesus, like, or like whatever. It's just like, oh, I have all these feelings for church, but I'm also having all these feelings for that girl that we hold hands and sing songs with. Oh
yeah. The worst.
God bless you. God bless you.
The worst time. That was like the worst period of time, because you couldn't, there's no right answer, right?
And no right answer.
No, you had no access to any kind of answer. I mean, I'm 45, so I grew up relatively in the same time period that you did, a little older. But like, you know,
two
we didn't
years,
have.
I'm 43, yeah, we're the same.
Well, you were the same.
We like, could have gone to Bonfire together and been fine. We would have just held each other's hands nicely and been like this.
I'd be like, been a nice cover.
Can I borrow your button-ups? You can borrow anything in my closet. Let's just done trade.
And done. Yeah, it was. Yeah, you know, we didn't have access to like a phone that had even any kind of resource or a computer or a YouTube channel that offered community or sense of belonging. It was just different. And, you know, I think the struggle is still obviously clearly very hard, and it's very difficult for kids. And, you know, as we see by awful, awful things in the news, but, you know, like, yeah, it felt isolating when we were growing up.
Yeah, I think that's why visibility is so, like, it's so important, you know, now that we've kind of found our path to, like, I don't know, I think it's important to see out people. I think, like, we're going to go to Taylor Swift for a moment, because I know you're a Taylor Swift fan, but just the line, shame never made anyone less gay. I'm like, yes, just putting that in a song.
Shame never made anybody less gay, yeah.
Yes, yes. Putting that in a song lyric that's so widely accepted as, like, everybody loves Taylor Swift. This is, you know, it's a great song. It's a banger. And then having that slip, just Trojan horse in there as a young gay kid. How wonderful to just hear that and go, whoa, whoa. Mm-hmm. Hey, that's mine. That was mine. That's my little nugget to say, Taylor Swift has you, you know, mother's got you.
The T Swizzle's got, she loves them. She's an ally. The Swizzle Sticks is an ally. Yeah. I think it's so powerful that the most powerful person in the industry right now, who is Taylor Swift, has used her platform, I think, in really powerful, you know, powerful ways to let people know where she stands without having to be like, you know, she's very, very, you know, like, precise in how she uses her platform. And I think, you know, she's just a boss. And, like, you know, like Beyonce, you know, like Taylor, like Oprah, like all these wonderful, powerful women. I think she does it with such grace and such ease. And I think, you know, men hate her because she's able to reach she's able to change the world, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, she's changing the world, literally changing how we consume music, mm-hmm. literally changing who owns, you know, who has the right to own their own music, who has the right to use their voice and speak up for people. I just think I love her. Yeah, I think she's such a great role. I have a niece, you know, who's in high school, who's young, and I'm just like, I'm so thrilled that my niece has somebody to look up to that is a woman who is powerful, who stands in her truth and in her own skin and uses all of her story as her power. Like every ounce of her is powerful. And I think that's so incredible for my niece to be able to look up to and say, yeah, I can be anything I want to be.
Yeah. I don't know. So we're about the same age. We both seem to be old ladies at heart. There was something that you put in the pre-show interview. I always ask a few questions, just, you know, and there was one that jumped off the page to me because it's something we have in common. I did not think we did. And we just need to talk. We need to talk about Jessica Fletcher and Angela Lansbury and Cabot Cove and all the shenanigans that go on there. And why was Murder, She Wrote on the list of things that you enjoy?
Oh my God. Are you okay? I mean, like, I feel like I got a story for everything that I put on my sheet, but Murder, She Wrote, I would go to my grandma's and grandpa's on Sundays, where I got this phone and when I was growing up, and I would help them, you know, I'd mow their yard. I would do, like, I would, you know, in the summer, I'd plant their flowers or take care of their grass.
Good boy.
I mean, whatever. Like, I was that grandkid. So I was the one who was helping out around the house. And I'd stay for Sunday dinner. And then my grandpa would always do burgers on the grill. And we'd watch Murder, She Wrote every Sunday night. So it had, so, like, here's this, like, whatever, 11-year-old, 10-year-old boy. It's just like, ooh, Jessica Fletcher's calling this crime. And, you know, Cabot Cove. Whoa, where's Cabot Cove? Who cares? Yeah, it's like, whatever. I was totally not interested. And then, but I had watched many episodes over that time period of my life. And then she came back to me. I'm a gigantic Angela fan. I think I just love her. I love Angela Lansbury. I grew up loving Angela Lansbury. And then, during the pandemic, one of my choices was to binge all, like, 14 seasons of Murder, She Wrote. I went back and I rewatched it all and I reconnected to it. And how can you not love J.B. Fletcher, you know, just simply hanging out in her garden going, well, I guess I better check that out, Sheriff Metzger. Or she shows up on the scene and she's like, well, it looks to me like that bottle wasn't sitting over there and there's poison in the hidden behind the whatever. I mean, like, it's so fun. It's so camp. And it's so comforting. There's something about it to me that's so comforting.
We like to, like, we loved it when she, we love that she jogs. We're like, she just jogs. And then she goes everywhere in a hurry. She's always in a very brisk. She brisks. And the bike is, so it's the bike, the jogging, the briskness in every episode.
Yeah, she's, I think she paints her house at one point, you know, mm-hmm. She goes to New York City for a little bit. She's in Boston. I mean, she's definitely an East Coaster, which I really appreciate. She goes on a
cruise. How many nieces and nephews does she have? She's always visiting a niece or a nephew.
Her one nephew, is like, it's Brady, is constantly causing a problem. Is always like, yeah, and Jess, I've got a girlfriend, and it happened to me. She's a murderer. Whatever. I can't believe you're the murderer. I mean, he's got like a girlfriend for a while. I mean, whatever. Not that we need to go through the... the history of Murder, She Wrote, but I love it. Why do you
so many places? I love her, and I love that she's just, again, it's a woman that don't need no man, and she's
right.
The water. I'm sure she moisturizes. I don't know why I have this thing with dry skin.
Have you seen the Angela Lansbury the videos of her moisturizing?
I have.
She's like, and like it's, yeah, she's like, oh, I like to moisturize, but. I mean, when you mentioned
this is how she stayed looking so good so long, or she's looked old forever. I can't tell, because when I was a kid, Bedknobs and Broomsticks was one of my favorite movies, and I'm like, oh, she's like an old lady. She was like 36 in that, and so she's either looked old just forever, or she's always looked gracefully ageless.
I think it's kind of a combination of both, because our mind's eye as kids are probably like, that person's older than me, and that's what old looks like. And then you grow up, and they haven't changed at all. So they're like, I guess old is that. Right. Yeah, you know what I mean? Like, you don't have any way to process what your mind's eye as a kid says old is. Because I thought Wilford Brimley, let's say, like, he's always looked old.
Yeah.
He's like, he's been like, I'm Wilford Brimley. Oh, diabetes, but he's always looked old. Like,
yeah, but 30 years earlier in Cocoon, same
yes! old. There's no difference. That's a good shout out for the people who know what Cocoon is. That's us, for sure.
It's for old people, it's people like almost are, like in 10 years, we could be in cocoons. Like, what happened to old people?
It's time for
5 quick questions.
Oh my God, I want to have you on every week. I want to, but this is a podcast in 3 parts. And I'm going to move it along. We chit-chatted for a while. We got to play 5 quick questions and do a Mad Lib before I can release you back into the wild.
Get ready.
5 quick questions with Nina West. You're on death row. What's your last meal?
Death row last meal? Oh gosh. I'm going to say grilled cheese sandwich. That might be really simple. Is that crazy?
No, that's so comforting. When you want a grilled cheese sandwich, tell me what you picture in your head. What kind of bread? What kind of cheese?
I picture like a spongy white bread, spongy enough so that when it's griddled, like on a flat top, it gets really crunchy.
Yeah.
You know, like it's got a texture to it. It has a texture to it. The cheese gets really cheesy. Maybe like a little tomato soup and maybe some French fries just to, you know, curb any carb cravings. I'm not kidding with the grilled cheese.
And it's the last meal, so you don't have to worry about constipation at all. You're like, well, I'm never pooping again anyway because I'm dying.
I'm just all over this chair.
I can have as much cheese as I want. Excellent answer. Question number two. Finish this sentence. Call me petty, but I would dump someone just for...
Taylor Swift ticket. Call me petty, but call me petty, but I would dump someone just for, like, they do something to me.
No, it's way better when someone's bribing you with Taylor Swift tickets to dump somebody.
No, will
you break
wrong.
Up with your boyfriend for these tickets? Fuck yeah, I will.
I'll break up with them. Wait, hold on, mate. Call me petty, but I would break up with, okay, wait, ask me again.
Finish this sentence, although I'm just going to keep your final answer as the first one. Finish the sentence, call me petty, but I would dump someone just for...
chronic halitosis.
Ooh, bad breath. Yeah. Okay.
I hate it. That's like a big, I'm smell sensitive.
Okay. Question number three, 5 quick questions. What is your favorite song to sing naked?
Oh my gosh. Don't Bring Me Down, ELO, Electric Light Orchestra. Don't Bring Me Down. Don't Bring Me Down. Don't bring me down. You just flap around. Don't Don't break me down. It could also be about a boner. I mean, I don't know.
Okay. Okay.
Excellent. No, I don't know. I'm just kidding.
I'm taking it. These are very serious. They're going on your record. Question number four. Weapon of choice.
Oh, there's no, you don't give me a choice. I pick a weapon.
Yep.
Wit.
Ooh, okay. Well, someone with a chainsaw is going to murder you.
Yeah, but I'm going to let them know about themselves before they do. Before they take my arm, I'm going to be like, oh, did someone have a rough childhood? What was it?
No, I feel so insecure right now. Question number five. What is the correct amount of cats?
The limit does not exist.
Ooh, what a great answer. And what a great Mean Girls quote.
Mm. Yeah, you know, I mean, look, can there ever be too many cats? I mean, yeah.
What a brilliant answer.
Who am I to say?
Mm. I'm just falling deeper and deeper in love with you with every sentence that comes out of your beautiful mouth. Mm.
And now it's time for Rad Libs.
All right, you've chit-chatted with me, you've played my five quick questions, my favorite part of every episode. I've written a Mad Lib specifically for you. It's a story where I left out some parts of speech. You're going to give me the missing parts of speech. Together, we're going to make this great story. Are you ready to play?
I'm so ready.
Verb ending in ing.
Jumping.
Yep. A local business.
Local business in my hometown? I mean, that would be...
I have no more information for you.
A local business. Jenny's Ice Cream. It's from Columbus, Ohio. And you're coming here on tour.
You're home of Jenny's Ice Cream?
Yes.
I fucking love, what's your favorite? Mine's peaches and biscuits.
So good. Peaches and biscuits, really good. Brambleberry crisp. I mean, I just went last night and they have a jelly donut and a fluffernutter. And if you put it together, it tastes like a peanut butter and jelly sandwich.
This is a real place I can go to when I go to Columbus.
Oh, there are stores all over. There are stores in Los Angeles, by the way. I'm going to tell you, there are stores in LA on Larchmont. And look at me like I work at Jenny's.
Can I meet Jenny? Can I say hi? Thank
He's
you.
He's here
so much
in Columbus.
For your service to the
I can
world.
Probably make that happen.
I would love to.
She's wonderful. Her. No, she's lovely.
Jenny, if you're watching, I just think your ice cream is so good. And I'm lactose intolerant, and there have been multiple times where I've been like, I don't even care anymore. I don't care.
They have non-dairy flavors.
I don't
Texas
care.
Texas cake is non-dairy. Coffee with cream is non-dairy.
Look at you.
I want that.
It's so good. Okay. A candy. I need a candy.
Kit Kat.
A word starting with P.
Philanthropy.
Okay. I need a song.
How about you need a song? Let's do Taylor. And let's do You Need to Calm Down.
Yep. Oh. Noun.
A stinky dog.
A musical artist.
They might be giants. What the hell? I don't know what they're doing.
What did they sing? I'm trying to remember.
They sang Particle Man.
Doing a thing
that a particle can.
Like, this is from the 90s.
Particle Man. I'm like, have you watched Beef?
I've heard, but I haven't seen it.
It is so good. And every song, the people must be our age because every song used is from the 90s. It's like every single song. Find a reason to be. I mean, every single song. It's like a Tori Amos song. You have to watch Beef because it's basically a celebration of not only road rage, but our growing up. Okay, anyway, sorry.
What don't we love more than road rage and 90s music? Let's see. Adjective?
Adjective. How about cheeky?
Ooh, great British word. Food. A food.
Twinkie.
Yeah. Great placement on that one. Another body part?
Elbow.
Yep. Profession or occupation?
Taxidermist.
Oh, God. We didn't know that about them.
Shit.
Story's really shaping up. A question. Any question.
How... How many licks to the center of a Tootsie Roll Pop?
An adjective?
Slimy.
Oh, that's right. That's exactly what goes there. A liquid?
Goat's milk.
Yep. A verb ending in ing?
Sweating.
Yep. a body part?
Nose.
We have a story, my friend. We have
written story. My God. I can't get ready. Okay.
Murder, She Wrote. The Case of the Missing Drag Queen.
No, it's so good. Oh my gosh.
Everybody in town was jumping with excitement the day after the annual Cabot Cove drag show. Every seat in that little Massachusetts Ginny's ice cream had been filled with cheering townsfolk who had come to see their favorite local drag queens, Kit Kat and Pinky Philanthropy. I think those both work.
It's really good. I'm changing my drag name to Pinky Philanthropy.
You are, I dub thee Pinky Philanthropy.
Oh, well, thank you, mother.
Kit Kat had performed a rendition of You Need to Calm Down wearing a sequined underwear, but the showstopper came when Pinky Philanthropy was lowered onto the stage via crane, riding a stinky dog and singing They Might Be Giants. The night had been cheeky. However, by morning, word had spread that visiting drag queen Lady Twinkie had gone missing. The police couldn't make heads or elbows of it, so as usual, they called on Jessica Fletcher, a local author and amateur taxidermist.
That makes sense. That makes sense.
I don't know what goes on in her basement.
That woman was doing everything.
She could do it all. Jessica began her investigation by questioning the other drag queens, asking the usual question, how many licks does it take to get to the center of a Tootsie Roll? She then gathered clues from backstage at the show, a boa, and a pair of slimy tights soaked with goat's milk.
Well, so disgusting.
After that, she'd seen enough. She jogged to the police station to see Sheriff Amos Tupper. Did you find the missing drag queen? Asked Amos. Not missing, just a costume change. Today, I believe she's wearing a police uniform, right, Amos?
What?
Amos blushed and they both burst out sweating. What gave me away? Asked Amos. Jessica replied, your nose was showing.
Amos Tupper is a queen. I knew it. I knew it.
Can you just picture it? He's Sheriff Tupper. So good. Sheriff Tupper.
Tupper. Amos Tupper.
Well, Miss Fletcher. Oh, you're fabulous. What do you have coming up that you'd like to tell the listeners about?
I'm excited. I'm going to be traveling around, doing some touring, hitting some spots. So make sure, you know, everyone just checks out my website, ninawest.com, for more information. But until then, you know, follow me on the socials. And of course, go see Kristen on tour all spring and summer, right? Because
don't plug me. You just plug you.
No, it's true. You're going to be all over and you put on one hell of a show. And what I think we all need now, right now, is laughter. And I think you give such a healthy dose of it. So. Everyone should go see you live if they have.
I'd love to get to see people. Like I get like bumping into people like you. Hopefully we can work together again. I think
I would love that.
It would be so fun if we could ever someday manifest it, put it on the universe. Someday we could do a show with the both of us on it.
I'm putting it together right now in my head.
Okay, it's just like Amos Tupper and drag. I can picture it and it's beautiful.
My nose is showing.
You're fabulous. Thank you so much for coming on.
Thank you. Yeah, thanks for having me. Thank you so much.
Interview complete. I think my drag name would be Computer Lady.
Wow, we learned something new about Computer Lady every episode. Thank you so much, Nina West, for coming on. I just love you and your face and everything about you. And you for listening. Thank you so much for taking in this podcast and for being a part of the show. Please leave a comment, review us, let us know who you want to see on the Kristen Knows Blank podcast. And go to my website. It's kristenkey.com. It's got my tour dates on there. I've got a lot of fun stuff. You can also join the Lesbian Army via my Patreon, where you can get an exclusive VIP newsletter. There's some tiers that have merch. There's some that don't. There's just a general support, which is generally supportive. And if you're not already following me on social media, go ahead. You know, what's the harm? It's fun to post lots of videos. It'll be a really good time. In the future, I will continue to bring you amazing guests. They're so good this season. So until next time, bye-bye.
We're gonna talk to some people, gonna have a lot of fun. We're gonna talk to
Hello.
Some people, gonna learn a lot of stuff. We're gonna talk to some
Hello.
People, gonna have a lot of fun. We're gonna talk to some
Hello.
People, gonna learn a lot of stuff. 'Cause Kristen.